Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode 22, released on April 5th, 2018. On this episode, Jared Altmark is here to talk about his exciting break into the world of cake show judging while he's also in the middle of graduating high school. Plus, I drop some sweet weather science on you. So whether you're frantically trying to get your SoFlo entry ready, listening while you travel between cake shows, or just kicking back after your latest sugar arts triumph, let's get this show started to inspire and educate you. Joining me now is Jared Altmark of Jared's Awesome Cakes in Florida and one of the hottest young stars in our industry. Welcome, Jared.
Hello.
Part of why I contacted you to do this was just even seeing your summary post of 2017. You have been very, very busy, and now I see you're going to be judging at SoFlo, too.
Yes. So busy. Constantly busy.
Well, so why don't you tell the listeners kind of the stuff you do and all the amazing stuff that's been going on for you in the cake world?
Okie dokie. Well, I guess I'll introduce myself first so you know myself outside of the cake world, too.
Right.
Hi, I'm Jared Altmark, owner of Jared's Awesome Cakes in South Florida, Coral Springs specifically, if you know anything about Florida. I am a senior at Coral Springs High School. I am the editor-in-chief of my school's yearbook. I am vice president of the National Honor Society, senior class representative, top 5% of my class, and also somehow have time for the cake world.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I mean, yeah, so you're one of those kids like me who just had to do everything, including the yearbook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I have a really hard time being bored. Like, I can't do it. Like, what is being bored? Like, how can people do that? In me, like, I just feel like I need a purpose at all times. Like, I always need to have, like, be on top of something, responsible for something other than just, like, myself.
Well, that's, I mean, it's commendable as long as you don't burn out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just waiting for the day. It's just, like, crack.
Well, so you are almost 18, right?
I'm almost 18, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, give yourself a break at some point. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having lots of that you want to do. That is really awesome.
Thank you.
If you're off to college, is it to study cake stuff? Or do you have, I mean, is it also theoretical physics or something? what else are you piling on?
Heck no. But I'm actually going to the University of Central Florida. I haven't even posted that on Facebook yet, so. An exclusive. I'm going to the University of Central Florida for advertising and public relations, and I'm thinking a minor in event management.
Cool.
So it's still close enough to home, but I know a lot of Orlando cake people, and I'll slightly continue. As a medium, for sure. As a business, I don't know.
You have a cake business. Are you actually selling a lot of cakes out of that, or is it just really a side thing?
I really don't. I don't do it as much as people probably think I do. Here and there, probably like once every 3 months.
Right.
Which is not a lot.
Well, no, but you're a full-time high school student. I mean, it's not like you're sitting around doing nothing. But yeah. What kind of cakes do you sell? What do you, like, are you weddings and flowers, novelty carved? What kind of stuff?
It's definitely the sculpted stuff. Most likely people come to me and I really try to convince them to think outside of a round tier and whatnot. Just as an example, off the top of my head, I've done a 3-tier cake balancing on top of like a lightsaber. And he was just wanting like a 3-tier cake that like has like BB-8 on it from Star Wars. And I was like, but how about this?
Pushing it with the structure, the internal structure and all that stuff.
Yes, for sure. Definitely. What you can like actually do for like cake.
You like the engineering side of it too.
Yes, for sure. But I definitely also have like a soft spot for like making flowers because I never get to do it.
The first flower I made was Audrey too. So, you know.
Solid.
I really, really roll with the nerdy. Like,
that's so funny.
I actually avoided doing flowers for a long time because it was just like, everybody does flowers. I'm not going to do flowers. And then I made the sci-fi cake. This is what my Marvin avatar is from. That was for the 2010 Austin show. And so I made Audrey too. And then I think it was Kyla Myers who pointed out, haha, you made a flower. And I'm like, it's not a flower. It's a man-eating plant.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I think the first time I ever actually rolled a pedal, like, you know, when you take a ball tool on a pedal, was actually at Cake International when I first came out here in 2014.
So, wow.
Yeah, I'd been doing cakes for a long time before I ever actually sat down and did a proper pedal.
See, I think a flower was like, I think it was one of the first things I tried.
I think it is for
but
most people.
Remember.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm going to be teaching. I've just been working on getting my first Cambridge class set up, and I was trying to work with FMM to get some of their that easiest rose cutter thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to show beginners, like begin, not cake people, like people who just like my friends and their kids. And I thought, oh, we should do a spring themed cake, and I should see if I can get from FMM some of those cutters, so then like maybe they can take one home. Afterwards, if I can get a good discount on a bunch of them, because yeah, that thing,
awesome.
Like you know, you can't enter that into competition. But God, it's so easy.
No, it's so easy. And honestly, I'm just like I'm still waiting for someone to like just go all out, like vein the petals, thin the petals, curl the petals on like that one little cutter. Because I feel like you can for sure make a semi-realistic rose with that, like a pretty realistic rose. If you
know
took
what,
the time.
I think you could. You're right. If someone made like a, because it's like cloud shaped. If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'll put a link in the show notes. It looks like a cloud, and then you thin the edges and fold it over, and it's like offset so that it makes the petals, and you pinch the bottom, and then ta da! But yeah, if someone made like a cloud shaped weird vein, it'd have to be like dual sided too, because the lower petals you're folding upwards.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could.
Well, it wouldn't even necessarily have to be like a legit like silicone veiner, like even just like some random like zigzags with your Dresden tool.
Yeah.
Like would make it just even more realistic.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, well, see, now there you go. Now you have a project for the weekend. Cuz I'm sure you had nothing else to do.
No, nothing else to do.
Well, yeah, we're like I think we're the only two people in the world not at the San Diego show right now.
Well, there's also the National Capital Area Cake Show in Virginia.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Which I really, really wanted to go to, but I just saving my money for other things.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. I keep saying in this lucrative world of podcasting, you know, where it costs me money to make this show, one day I'll be so big and amazing that people will actually pay my airfare to go to all the shows.
Goals.
Like, yeah, that is literally my goal. Like, actually, no, my goal is maybe Sat and Ice will send me a bucket of dark chocolate. That's my current goal.
That's so funny.
I'm operating on a very low level
I've
right now.
I watched that episode.
Oh, you did? Yeah, so well,
yes.
I think that I've mentioned satinized dark chocolate in at least five episodes, because it doesn't help that I'm sitting
That's
beside
so
an
funny.
Empty bucket, like, because, you know, the buckets are good for tools, right? So I have right beside
oh,
me an
sure.
empty bucket of it, and I just look at it wistfully like, oh.
We just recently had the hurricane here in Florida. Thankfully, everything was fine with my house. I'll just put that out there now.
Oh, that's good.
But we use, like, wrench out buckets to, like, put stuff in. Like, all my tools were in there, like, important paperwork. Because, like, bonded buckets, like, close really tightly. And it just so happens that the Wrench Out America's buckets are square and rectangle. So they fit perfectly.
Oh, see, I was just about to ask, wait a minute, what do you mean wrench out buckets? Because wrench out here doesn't come in buckets. It comes in plastic.
Yeah. It's like buckets with the little plastic bags.
Oh, okay. Like, but the square buckets, like, I've seen, I'm trying to look around my kitchen now. I've got square, like, I think Fondex comes in a square bucket.
Really?
We used to. long time of it. Pretty sure they were in sort of cubey buckets.
The big one is, I was just going to say, like, correct myself. The big one is in a cubey bucket. I've only gotten the 10-pound ones, Fondex, when I first started using fondant. So, like, I was thinking of, like, the round, normal bucket.
Yeah. I have, like, half of my house is old containers for things. Because of the volunteering I did at the Austin show, I ran the kids' table for a long time. And we had, I'm going to do air quotes here that nobody can see, the buttercream that we give the kids to put on the, because there's no butter in it. No cow has been anywhere near that stuff.
it came in the 25, I want to say 25 pound buckets. And like when we would open them, we'd go, the smell of diabetes. like that just, that much icing is just so gross, you know? But so I have, I think, 6 of those buckets even here in England because they're just so useful. I even use them to pack things in our shipping container. And so, you know, one of them is in the backyard. My kids use it. It's actually full of nasty, gnarly, rotting apples right now because they piled a bunch of apples in there and I haven't gone and emptied it all winter. But so I can see it from my kitchen window. I'm like, oh, I should go empty that. But today's not that day.
But let the birds eat at the ants.
Well, it'll get the ants. It's too cold for ants. We're going to have a freezing night overnight. So we don't have ants today. But in Florida, yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously,
actually, it was 45 degrees today in Florida. How insane is that?
Yeah, but hang on. I have to think. That's Fahrenheit. That's cold for you, isn't it?
Yes, very cold. Well, cold for me because Florida is known for being like 90 to 100 degrees.
Yes, I remember when I was 7 years old and went from, I grew up outside Toronto when we went to Florida, and I'd never been that hot.
It's pretty crazy.
It was in the summer, too, so it was good and proper hot. And I don't know how, I mean, I was 7, so I can't tell you what temperature it was. But it was it was that heat when you left the air conditioned environment. I didn't have air conditioning at home, so I wasn't even used to that, the cold of, that particular cold of air conditioning. And you would, you know, when you step outside and you've got that minute of a, ha, ha, like when the heat just hits you. I never had
like,
that.
There's a heat lamp directly on you, but there's also like a fine mist from the humidity.
Because you've got humidity to deal with too.
Yes, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, because then, see, I moved to U.S. first from the Toronto area down to Las Vegas, where humidity is not an issue. It's the opposite. Where I first learned sugar sculpting, with the, you know, fondant and whatever, was a place where I never used gum paste because you didn't need to. Right? Again, because I wasn't using flowers. But your fondant would dry rock hard in minutes. So why would you need to do something that dries super hard? Like, why would you need to add Tylos? I bought some Tylos from my first ISIS show, actually, from Nick Lodge, from his stand. And, like, I didn't use it the entire time I lived in Las Vegas because I was like, I don't need to. Everything's rock hard in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. It's just crazy how that works. Because, like, people really have to, like, adapt their entire style to, like, fit the needs of, like, their environment.
Oh,
like,
totally.
I always think that Florida is, like, extremely humid, but, like, I never really struggle with it. But I know other people who really, really struggle with it in South Florida.
Right. So, like,
it's kind of interesting.
What percent, like, on a normal day, what percentage humidity are you looking at there? When we moved to Austin, suddenly 30% humidity felt horrible because we went from Las Vegas to Austin, and 30% is pretty dry still.
So if today, on a cold day in spring, is 61%.
Right, okay.
So that's kind of a lot.
That's kind of a lot. When I lived in Ottawa, that's where I learned, and I'm really glad I never actually did any sugar work when I lived in Ottawa, because that's where I learned it can be over 100% and not rain.
Oh, my God. You probably just, like, walk out and just, like, feel like you're in a shower.
It was.
I can't even imagine that.
I used to bike to work. I was going to school there, but I worked, you know, downtown on a Canadian, one of the federal government offices. And biking down, it was like biking through soup. And the thought of having to do a cake in, I mean, it was regularly 60% humidity and just frequently would go up 80, 90. And then one day it was 110%. I'm like, this doesn't seem to be mathematically correct. But I learned from the weatherman, oh no, that's super saturated air. That, and you're going to get a thunderstorm. Like, it's going to, you know what it's like right before the thunderstorm where you feel the air. That's sometimes because your humidity is actually going over 100%.
Wow.
And then it cracks and pshaw, and everything rains. And
it's time for another installment of Kim Googles Things While You're Busy So You Don't Have To. In this episode, how can you possibly have humidity over 100%? Humidity figures you see during weather forecasts are usually what's known as relative humidity, which is the ratio of the partial pressure of water vapor to the equilibrium vapor pressure of water at a given temperature. And while that's a fab Wikipedia definition, what does it actually mean? Well, the open air is a big space full of a lot of freely moving particles and molecules, some of which can be water vapor. The air doesn't really hold the water vapor. It's more that there's so much room that the water vapor can be there in that space along with the air. The amount of water vapor that can sit around mixed in with the rest of the air depends on the ambient temperature. Relative humidity is the percentage of water vapor alongside the air right now versus how much there could be at that temperature before the available space is saturated. Saturated in this context is when there's theoretically too much water vapor for any more to fit without finding a way to condensate or precipitate out. But it's not actually saying how much water is around you. So, 100% humidity does not mean the air is full of 100% water. It just means that, at that temperature, the pressure on the existing water vapor is so high that any more will probably make it turn back into a liquid one way or another. But the key word there is probably, because it doesn't have to. There's a thing called supersaturation, where a solution contains more of something than it usually can. If you've ever made candy, caramel, or fudge, you are probably aware of supersaturation in that context, because you know that supersaturating a sugar solution is what allows rock candy crystals to grow. But having crystals form at the wrong time or in the wrong way when making caramel or fudge is that supersaturated sugar coming out of the solution too soon. Water vapor can supersaturate too when there's more water vapor around than there ought to be in that state. In fact, clouds require supersaturation. When relative humidity is just over 100%, particles form cloud seeds, or cloud condensation nuclei, which is where water vapor condenses to form a bit of cloud that is not actually rain. And down on the ground, we'd call that a fog instead. But you can have weather situations where the relative humidity is over 100%, but the reactions haven't started yet to precipitate out or create fog. It could be because there aren't enough other particles around for the water vapor to condense upon. And of course, if it's very hot outside, more of that water vapor can be around anyway because of the relative part of relative humidity. So you can indeed get situations on a hot summer day where the weather feels like soup all around you, making you just as sad as when your fudge turns out grainy because your supersaturated solution formed crystals that were too big too soon. Whatever the cause of that high relative humidity, you can bet your gum paste petals won't be drying while it persists. Take a break and work on something else where delayed drying works in your favor. This has been an installment of Kim Googles Things while you're too busy so you don't have to.
Anyway, so yeah, I just saw your announcement judging in SoFlo. I mean, that's got to be huge.
Crazy. Nick reached out to me through Facebook Messenger asking if I wanted to be one of the judges. I was in my yearbook class and my yearbook teacher was like talking to me about something, probably a deadline, who knows. And I'm just staring at my phone and almost like I really have to hold in the tears because I was so shocked and literally mouth ajar, staring at my phone, speechless, completely ignoring what my teacher has to say. And I like quickly responded, are you kidding? Like, are you sure it's the right person? Like, are you sure it's me? Insane. I'm so excited to be judging at SoFlo.
That is amazing. And yeah, I mean, hell, I've never had a message from Nick. So yeah, that is definitely highly meaningful. That, I mean, I know he has a history of identifying particularly younger talent and saying, we will have you now and groom you. Because, you know, I remember it was a big thing when Tyler Gary first showed up at the Austin show with string work in the teen category. And we were all like, what? I remember there were conversations around with, oh, Nick will be mentoring him now.
So it's like, crazy.
Career made. So
it's funny because, well, like Tyler lives in Austin, but my first show was in 2014 and I competed in Austin. Like, that's truly when my career in the cake industry started.
Were you in the teen category, I presume?
I was in the teen category. I had a 3-foot-tall sculpted cake, and it was a girl in the tree with a little dog and then a butterfly on the tree. And it won first best of division, And I could not believe it because it was my first cake show. I was like meeting all these people. Like it was it really changed my life. Truly. My life would not be the same if I didn't go.
But you transported that thing from Florida.
I checked it on a plane.
Wow.
So I had barely made any cakes and I had the audacity to bring a cake on a plane and it somehow made it with no damage.
I told Kyla the first time somehow. I brought something up from here and I checked it and I said, I think there should be a special award at Austin for cakes that arrived from the furthest with the least damage in the hold. So there you go.
You know what?
You would have won that award.
Competition in North Carolina and they give an award out, I think it's like $1,000 for whoever travels the farthest with a piece.
Oh,
like
wow.
I'm not even kidding.
That is wow. Because like $1,000 goes a long way to pay airfare.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, I was just joking because I was like, yeah, give me all the awards, kinda. But wow, yeah, I think I remember the cake. I'm gonna have to look it up. I'm sure it'll be in our slideshows. Because one of my projects I want to do this year is actually archive all the Austin winners into not slideshows, like so that they're on our website so people can look stuff up. Because when you've been doing it for a long time, you go, what did I get in 2011? I don't remember, especially because our medals weren't marked. Well, I mean, we stamped them, but all the stamps faded. So, like, people have all these medals, and they're like, I don't know what this means anymore. So, yeah, so I'll be going through all those in all that free time I totally have.
Honestly, it's a great idea, because when I was, like, decided to compete, because that was the year there was Cake Fest in Lafayette, Louisiana, and Austin, it happened to have been the same weekend.
Right.
And I really struggled, like, figuring out which one to go to, but I decided to choose Austin because I really, really, really wanted to meet Mike McCary. Mm-hmm. And I ended up taking a class with Mike McCary, literally, just to meet him. I didn't take the class to learn anything. It was literally just to get a picture with him, and I did, and I do not regret it at all.
You are not the first. That is, you are not the first, and you will not be the last. Yeah, no, there's a lot. I mean, that's why we call him the cake god on this show, whether he likes it or not.
Insert the little noise.
I will be putting the little noise in. That's why I said that. That's my cue to be putting that little noise in. Because, you clearly listen to this show.
Yes, I do.
I can tell.
I'm definitely going to mention Mitchie, so you can get a...
Oh, well, hang on. You know the answer? Because nobody's won that yet.
What do you mean?
Oh, did you email me earlier?
Me?
Because when I checked the email earlier, nobody has from the most recent show, the Austin coverage show. There's a contest.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, you might need to
honestly,
check.
Honestly, I have no idea.
You might need to check that out because you just said the answer to secret question.
Someone else can have it.
Okay. Well, it'll have been revealed before this podcast's come out anyway. So I'll just say it. It'll have been revealed, is I was interviewing Mary Carmen at Austin.
Okay.
And Mitchie came behind me and did like a drive-by hug and did her little honk noise, which I will obviously have to insert here.
Oh, for sure.
And then ran away laughing. And so I said as a joke, a half-asleep joke, because it's Saturday night in the Austin show, I'm half-asleep. I said, I should make a contest for that. Whoever emails me first to say who just drove by and did a drive-by with that noise – wins, I don't know, some kind of prize. And Mary Carmen's sitting right there. So what does she say? A bucket of satin ice. That she will send a bucket of burgundy satin ice to the first person who emails me. So we thought it would be like right away. Because I had announced in advance, there's going to be a contest. And people, like 70-something people at least had downloaded that episode when I looked. And nobody's emailed me. And I, like, so paranoid. I keep, like, doing the email link myself going, does this work? Is this thing on? And I've had a couple of people tell me, I heard that, but I don't know who made the noise.
No, I know for sure who made the noise, and I didn't even watch the episode yet.
Well, there you go. So Mitchie's all over the post. Every time I post it, she's like, I'm going to win. And people are picking up on the hint. Congratulations to Haley Boykin of Haley's Cookie Cakery in Austin, Texas, and the founder of the Baking Lifestyle blog and Facebook community as well.
Haley was the first to email me identifying Mitchie Curran of Mitchie's Munchies in Las Vegas as the person who made the honk noise. While I was interviewing Mary Carmen Gonzalez of Satin Ice and MCG Cake Design in Mexico City, Mary Carmen has already sent a bucket of their new burgundy color to Haley. Thank you, Mary Carmen and Satin Ice, for donating the prize. Thank you, Mitchie, for your always delightful honk noise, which is the official censor bleep noise of this podcast. And thank you, Haley, for listening and emailing in the answer. Hopefully, we'll be able to run more random contests like that in the future, so it pays to be a regular listener.
Really, one of the funniest people I've ever met in my entire life. Like, meeting cake people, incredible. Like, it's crazy how different everyone is and how, like, different paths, like, they just collide because of cake.
Oh, yeah, totally. I've been re-listening to some of the episodes for the anniversary thing that I'm going to do right before your episode, I'd forgotten that Dawn Parrott and I have the same origin story. It's just that she went into piping and I went into modeling. But we were both we're both Canadian immigrants who had nothing else to do and no green card. So like, oh, let's try this. She picked up a book on piping and I picked up a book on more modeling stuff. Now it's taken over our lives. Well, so how did you get into this then?
So I was always obsessed with Ace of Cakes, and especially Food Network Challenge. Food Network Challenge, way more. OG Food Network Challenge, with like Mike McCary, Lauren Kitchens, Marina Sousa, all those people that I met at Austin that one weekend, changed my life. And honestly, I just fell in love with the Food Network in general. Started baking from like boxes and like 10. Then I started scratch baking at 12-ish. Then I made my first cake at 13, and it blank hit the fan. Really hit the fan.
It sucked you in and never let you go.
Yes, for sure. I was obsessed with watching YouTube videos over and over and over and over again of just people covering cakes with fondant because I never thought I would be able to do it. And people like piping rosettes on cakes, and it just boggled my mind. Like, I never thought in a million years I could do it. Then I tried it and I was like, oh my God, I have to figure this out.
Which do you you prefer, the modeling over the piping, or do you just do it all?
See, I really, really like doing oriental string work. I don't have the patience for like the Australian bridgeless stuff, because like the little lines, I'd rather make like the swoops. But that's one of those like soft spots, like with flowers, like I just really enjoy, like, the delicate, pretty stuff that I never get to do. So, like, at SoFlo, yes, I'm judging, but I'm also competing in the wedding cake category, mainly because I don't want to judge it, but also to, like, push myself. Because I competed last year, didn't place, but I literally did it just to completely push myself out of my comfort zone. And I had a whole cage of oriental string work to match an Art Deco design on the tiers. Don't know how I did it. But it got there in one piece, and I'm still so proud of that cake.
That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't done stringer. I mean, actually, it's not true. On that 2010 cake, because I'd read one of Ruth Rickey's blogs about more techniques, and I took it too far because it's me. I was like, what's another technique I can throw on this cake? Which I've actually learned. That's not what you should do. You should not be doing techniques for the first time on a show cake. Bad idea. But it was just that I had so many that were done okay-ish enough that it won. So I had a tier that was supposed to be look like all the mechanics of a ship. So that meant I could do cutouts and all this stuff. And so for the first time I tried, you know, by string work, I made ladders. Like, it wasn't like I was making the pretty stuff. It was kind of like harsh string work,
but that's still pretty cool.
Yeah, and so like I still didn't know the secret about the turning upside down, which I was a dummy cake, so I probably actually would have done if I'd known, because I used to just look at that and think people were just really good at going up. Like, I didn't didn't realize. I said to Carla once, what is the secret? How do they do that? And she goes, well, they turn the cakes upside down. I'm like, oh.
That's so funny.
Here I was just thinking people had some magic foo. But no, so like I'd made ladders and like places where it looked like, you know, cables had connected. Mm-hmm. And
I actually did something really similar. I did, okay, have you seen the movie The Maze Runner?
No, but the title sounds familiar.
Okay, it's one of those like dystopian, like teenage insane movies that just went crazy. Everyone went crazy for. And I watched the first movie, haven't watched any of the other ones, but there's a creature in it called the Griever. And I created it for Sugar Spooks, and it has all these wires everywhere. It's a mechanical slash like alien thing. And I did like little wires swooping down with string work. So like, I know exactly what you mean. Like it's really cool how you can get creative with string work for sure.
Yeah. And if you anchor it right, I mean, it's still fragile, but it's stronger than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I ran one cable for a good like few inches. I'm trying to guesstimate in my hand. Yeah. I'm thinking that's about 4 or 5 inches. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew enough to put some dots down first to be like little bridges, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would connect along. But when I look at the Australian stuff, the bridgeless stuff, because mm-hmm. I've seen Mark Seaman's class on Craftsy. I haven't bought the class, but I've seen the intro for the class. I look at that and I go, oh, look at that. I want to do that when I'm 80 and don't have small children in my house. It's so, you know what I want to do? I really, and someone is probably already beaten me to this idea, I'm sure, if I looked up. I desperately want to do rainbow string work.
That'd be cool.
Like on,
it'd be a pain in the butt.
It would be a pain in the butt.
Really cool.
Like maybe even like on like bright rainbow on a black cake. Oh.
I actually, very funny story. I have one of Dawn's turntables, and I was doing a practice cake. It was all black. And I had like a neon lime, basically chartreuse, like royal icing. And I did the whole thing in oriental string work. And I didn't lock the bolts on the turntable. And it fell in my sink. The entire thing fell in my sink.
Oh,
I don't even think
God.
I told Dawn this story. But I didn't secure the nut properly. So it wasn't. It basically wasn't even, like, connected. It wasn't even put together.
Oh, so it was
and
just, like, hovering.
I was so eager to try it, and all of my sake.
Oh, my God. That's a good, terrifying cake disaster story. Have you had any other major disasters?
I don't think so.
No, that's
it. It's oh, actually.
Lucky that only yeah. one.
So, Austin 2016, I think. So, I had the monkey, and one of its legs came off. And I was panicking, but thank God my mom was with me and she was like calming me down. But like, I was really panicking and thankfully it got back on. But that's not that big of a disaster now that I think about it.
I'm trying to think. I went to 2016. 2015 was the one I missed. So, yeah, I know. Because you and I have never actually met. However,
no, we have not.
You
have met my gator, though.
That's right. I met your gator because I sat down to demo. Was that last year at Austin? Because it wasn't this year. Was that 2016?
It was last year.
Was it? I think it was last year. And I sat down at the Innovative Sugar Works booth to do a demo for them. That's right. It was last because last year was the year that I actually had enough people covering kids' classes that I could do something else at the show. And so Innovative Sugar, because I can't sit down and do nothing either, Innovative Sugar Works said, would you come demo? And I'm like, sure. And yeah, I came and sat down and I'm like, isn't this one of Jared's alligators or crocodiles? I don't know the difference because I'm not a Floridian. But like, because I've seen you post and demo, and like, it's very much the sugar shaper shape in the fondant.
Mm-hmm. Yep, like the little dimples in the mouth, like pure, like it's basically just the orange one stuck in.
Yeah, I don't think it had a head though, because I didn't see the mouth. I think maybe someone else had taken, like, had you done two maybe, and so there, you would just like demonstrated the texture afterwards. No, nobody remembers it's Emerald.
I think I did the head. I can imagine myself doing the head, but I actually do think I did something else after.
Yeah, so I think
it doesn't surprise me at all that I just ripped the head off and was like, ha ha.
just to terrify the children. It's really the best way to get them into. Well, okay, so you've got SoFlo coming up. You're challenging yourself on wedding and judging. What, I mean, you obviously 2017 was insanely exciting for you. What else do you have coming up in 2018?
Well, I'm graduating high school. That's a really, really big thing. And I still that can't is. Believe that 4 years have passed. Insane. I'm really speechless about it. Then I'm judging with Nick, Karen Portaleo, Rebecca from American Cake Decorating at a show in Long Beach, the Cake Bar Cake Show. I believe it's July 7th and 8th. So that's going to be so fun because I've never met Karen before. And Karen Portaleo and Casey Lackey, cake heroes.
Okay. Awesome. Jeez, that's kind of huge coming out the gate, isn't it?
It's crazy. When I found out, so at first, Karen Portaleo, like I found out in secrecy, Joyce Marsalis and Cass Jimenez, they were telling me that Karen Portaleo was coming, but they wouldn't just tell me over the phone. They had to FaceTime me to get my reaction. And at first I didn't even know that she was judging. And then when they announced that she was judging, my mouth dropped. Like, same as the text or the message, Facebook message from Nick. Like, complete, what?
So you're going to be judging, but you're going to be doing, like, when I first spoke to Mike McCary, this is what was in my head. Like, so I, you know, he was talking to me, but this is all I heard in my head was, oh, my God, Mike McCary's talking to me. Oh, my God, he's saying nice things. I have no idea. What did he just say? I don't know, because all I'm doing is screaming in my head. So that's what you're going to try to judge, and you're going to have, oh, my God, Karen Portaleo is right standing beside me.
Like, oh, my God, she just thought, or she just asked, like, what I thought of this. Like, oh, my God, no way.
What do I think of this? Quick, think of something smart to say. It's good.
Oh, wow, I like that.
that's just everything. I like it? Question mark.
I won't do that if Nick is listening, I promise.
No, that's... No, of course, you are extremely qualified, and I'm just teasing you. But no, because, I mean, I know what you mean. Like, when you meet your cake idols, it doesn't matter how well you've done.
Oh, no, for sure.
Yeah, it blows you away.
At SoFlo, too, Amber Spiegel from Sweet Ams and Julia Usher are judging the cookie category. Like, I don't even make cookies, and, like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, you heard about this thing with CookieCon this week where their servers crashed and so people, I guess, couldn't sign up or didn't know if they did or whatever. But I wish I had the money and time and airfare to go to CookieCon because I don't do cookies a lot. But, man, I really worship Julia Usher's big time. You know, and Sweet Ams is
people are awesome.
Yeah, and Mallory May's cookies. I mean, all these cookie artists who do this amazing stuff, they just blow my mind.
Actually, right here next to me. So I had Mallory make custom cookies of my cakes, and I have them in a shadow box hanging in my room, and I worship them.
A shrine, I would hope.
Yes, for sure, no doubt. And she also made my logo, and she did like a watercolor portrait. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I worship them. I love them so much.
When I was piling the worship on her when she was on the show, and I was saying how I think of her and Julia as sort of like, in my mind, the two pillars, because Julia does all the massive 3D construction sort of like engineering, but Mal does like just the beautiful flowy paint, like all 2D, but man,
just incredible. Yeah, artist.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And I think so. When I feel like I want to do a 2D art thing, I really have because I've bought Mal's classes on Craftsy. It's like her in my head. But when I want to bend the dough and go up, I mean Mal does up too. But you know what I mean. Like even then, it's like her up pieces tend to be upright two-dimensional pieces. But when I want to do curvy weird stuff, I have Julia in my head, and she's like, she seemed to be weirded out that I was comparing her to Julia Usher. I'm like, no, really, kind of, you're up there, we worship you for reasons.
I completely agree. Like, I mean two people I would take cooking classes from, Sandy Beltran of You Can Call Me Sweetie and Mallory May. That's two people I really want to take cooking classes. Obviously Julia Usher too, but like Mallory blows me away. There's just a couple people, like, every single piece they do, blown away.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's like other people look at cake and go, that's a cake. We do that with, that's a cookie? Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's why I've partly embraced cookies myself, particularly for the travel, because they're harder. Mm-hmm. Literally, just as a medium, it's a hard, it's kind of like the Lego of sugar arts.
Yeah, I see that.
Because you're making chunks that you're then assembling, and it's easier for me to take that on a plane, frankly, than a soft cake that goes, you know, wobble, wobble, squish on every bump. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, yeah. you have to risk, I guess, breakage and cracking. And obviously my Austin piece did have a problem, but it flew to Austin fine. My crack happened when I got to the crazy humidity of Austin. I mean, we had fog.
I saw that. Like, you guys were having legitimate thunderstorms that weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'd forgotten what Texas thunder sounds like, because let me just put this out there. England thunder isn't the same. Not even. Like, the house never shakes. Well, I mean, we have brick houses here. That might be part of it, but yeah.
The first time I went to Austin, it was ice everywhere.
We finally had proper, not even that great, because honestly, you could still see the grass through it, so that's still not that proper, but snow that you could play in and pack and make a snowman, we had that, well, when I got home from Austin, like, a couple weeks ago. That was the first time. And so my 4-year-old has played in snow for the first time at the same time that my 12-year-old has really played in snow for the first time.
See, that's what I want. I want, like, the, like, Hallmark Christmas movie, like, sledding and making snowmans. Like, that's really what I want my first snow experience to be.
Yeah, it sounds like really great as long as you don't have to do anything. Like, you wouldn't want to take a cake out.
Oh, well, yeah.
Or like, I mean, just even the slipping and sliding driving. I mean, I'm glad I never had to deliver a cake anywhere where I live with snow or ice on a hill, or even just carry it through a driveway with ice. Oh my God, that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know very many Canadian cake decorators, despite being Canadian. Just, I mean, I know a few, but not very many. But I can't even. But then, like we were saying earlier, with knowing your weather, I mean, they can have modeling chocolate year round.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah,
I use modeling chocolate year round, but obviously it's harder during the summer.
Well, yeah, but not on an out. Yeah, you need to be careful about how you even transport that, like, you know, from. Even in your car, you need to make sure AC is getting to the back of the car. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, like, I made a modeling chocolate paneled cake for my daughter's 8th birthday. I know, because it was pirate themed, and we made chocolate coins that said payos of 8 instead of pieces of 8. So that's why I can remember it was that one. And that was Mike McCary used to give me his old frames from the show and say, go make something weird with this. Because for his structures class, he'd put the structure together, but now he can't take it on a plane, right?
Oh, that's so, such a good point.
Yeah, so I know. I was like such a, you know, fangirl all the time, and be like, I want to volunteer in Mike's class. And he's like, I don't need a volunteer, but why don't you just come in anyway? And I'm like, ha! He does not like this worship. He does not like it, which now it's just funny.
Mike McCary, he's the cake god.
But so, like, right above me up in this top corner over here is the remnants of one of his dog frames. And down below here is one of his old bigger boards because he just couldn't fly back with them. So that was the year he'd done the treasure chest. It could be a treasure chest, or it could be a toy chest, or whatever. And so he said, make something weird with this. And the year before, with the dog thing, I'd made an alien dog, because that's what Peo wanted, because of course she did. So it was a 7-eyed dog and a 7-tailed dog, because she's turning 7. But when she turned 8, we made the treasure chest cake, and it was Pirates of Penzance, because she was obsessed with that. And then I, like, paneled modeling chocolate, because I thought that would make it stronger. Mm-hmm. And we had a heat wave in Austin in October, as you do. And
wow.
We had it in a park, and I'd made a scavenger hunt all through this park. I'd been up at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning to be the only person in the park, being all weird and creepy, walking around, tying notes to trees, and hoping no one would mess with them. And I sent a bunch of, 7- and 8-year-old girls dressed like pirates around this park, following clues. And at one point, one of them goes, hey, are we going in a circle? And I was like, pirates would never, like, cheat you. No. And she's
you
like,
never hear that part of scavenger hunts. You just think they work out so perfectly.
That's like, right.
Someone has to actually go and put them out.
The whole point was basically I was just going to tire them out for an hour while the other parents sat and with it, like, under the, you know, covered area with the cake. When we left, the cake was fine. By the time it was about 40 minutes, by the time we got back, there are pictures on my blog of the cake just slumping. Like, the structure held up. totally fine because it's a Mike McCary structure. So of course it did. But basically the panels around it just, because I had it ganached too, right? So once the ganache went liquid, it just sort of took the modeling chocolate panels and the stuff just it started bulging more and more. My husband was taking pictures of it. So yeah, and like, because who would have thought on, you know, the second weekend of October, you'd have a 30 Celsius heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. So like 28 is 82. So yeah, it's like in the mid 80s in October.
Oh no, that's definitely really hot.
Yeah, too hot for chocolate. I mean, but everyone ate that cake. Is like, oh, this is like chocolate soup. It's so good. And like, good. That's how we're gonna spin that.
Oh my God.
Delicious chocolate soup.
Definitely sagging is the worst. That's really something I struggle with. Or have struggled with in the past. The last few cakes I've done, it hasn't been a problem, thankfully. But there have been several times where I've delivered to like an outdoor party and they just insist on cream cheese frosting. And obviously it's not going to work. Even if it's just a filling, like it's not stable enough. It really isn't. And of course, I never know if it's how long it's staying outside and whatever. Once it's out of my hands, it's all them.
Well, yeah, and make sure you put that in your contract because I don't know if you've seen the various... things on the various Facebook groups where people share, this client says they want their money back because this cake melted, but like you can see like a little, you can see the child's fingerprints in it. Someone posted one recently where they said,
I've seen that.
Yeah, so they said, oh, this cake, they want their money back because they said it was too crumbly, but you can see by the like ripped fondant that it wasn't cut with a serrated knife. It was probably cut with like a spork or something. And they're like, it's too crumbly. Well, yeah, if you try and cut it with like a butter knife. So, I mean, anyone who's ordering a frosting that should be refrigerated, your duty and you say, well, no, don't you make this refrigerated. And if they say, yeah, and then they go stick it on a beach for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. See, I just came across, I think it's Lorraine's, but I don't think it is at the same time. I got it from Walmart. It's cream cheese frosting flavoring.
Oh.
Kind of tastes-ish like cream cheese. But now I just, like, add it to my vanilla buttercream because it just makes it taste even more like vanilla ice cream.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. And I think I also tried using, like canned, like, Duncan Hines cream cheese frosting. Obviously not real cream cheese, but it's shelf-stable.
Right.
And I don't think I ended up trying it. But it's a good idea if you want to try it out there.
Because, I mean, there are obviously workarounds, but, you know, there's always, Mike McCary likes to tell the stories about the people who come to him and say, well, I'd like you to use my great aunt Sally's angel food cake. And he's like, no, I can't carve that. Because they don't know. We laugh, but they really don't know. They watch cake TV and they think, well, that looks easy because these geniuses, like you're saying, you know, Mike and Lauren and Marina, they make it look easy.
Oh, my God. All of them. It was just made it happen. And they made it happen in 8 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So everything seemed, like, incredible and super easy. But it was not. The amount of planning it took to get everything done in those 8 hours is insane.
Yeah, and we can see that now. So I don't know if you've watched any of the British Bake Off stuff.
I haven't. I've heard wonderful things about it from, like, non-baker friends.
Yeah, so what I like, because I would kind of honestly burned out on Cake TV in part because some of the shows got really abusive. I had been invited to some of these shows, and I was really glad later when I said no, giving people concussions and for entertainment and you know, just like...
Oh my God.
Even on Challenge, when they started getting to, like, do you remember there was an episode of Challenge where they made them climb up and down the stairs for no reason?
Honestly, no. But do you remember Last Cake Standing, that series?
I think I'd already left the country. I think I'd left the country before that was on.
Okay,
or maybe I'd given up.
Susa had to walk in a pool with, like, the whole getup. I don't even know what it's called. It's basically a jumpsuit and the boots, and she has to walk in a pool, get her cake from the middle of a pool in Vegas, and then carry it above her head out of the pool.
Like, no, that's not what I want to see in cake. I want to see the artistry. I want to see how you made a thing. I want to see McCary build a structure that doesn't fall down. And I can see how it's legit to move the cake to the judging table. That was one of my kids' first sentences. Move the cake to the judging table, she used to say. because we had this on all the time when she was little. But like, that's fine. But if you I really started to get fed up. There was an episode of Challenge where they made them run through Disneyland to find their secret ingredient and then go start their cake. Now they're hot, sweaty, and tired. And I'm like, no. Okay.
But I love that episode.
Well, because the cakes were good. But, like, I just felt like it was torturing people that I love. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so when I kind of got to the point where I just didn't want to watch cake TV anymore because it felt like they were just upping the pain instead of – what I wanted was instructional. I wanted to watch the show where they would teach you how to make something. And Kyla and I pitched that so many times to the various network, and they're like, nope, won't sell. People just want to watch people make stuff and fall down.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
There's, like, very few instructional shows on Food Network now. It's really Bobby Flay and, like, Donna De Laurentiis, like, truly teaching you how to cook. Everything else is, like, competition.
Oh, that's sad. I mean, like, because we watched Food Network mostly was Alton Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we are solidly an Alton Brown household.
He's coming back with a version of Good Eats.
I heard he was bringing it back, yeah.
I don't know if it's exactly Good Eats, but, like, Alton Brown.
Yeah. I mean, we have Alton Brown cookbooks and stuff, and I would, if I could buy the entire first season of Good Eats, I would. I think now you can in the U.S., but we couldn't when we left, so, because, you know, my daughter wants to watch it, because it's the science of cooking, and it's so good. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so when I got here, like, I didn't even watch Bake Off the first year I was here, because it's like, no, I don't watch cake TV, and people are like, no, you have to watch it, and then someone told me, no, Kim, it's nice. They're nice to each other.
Oh my god.
And so I watched it and I was like, oh my god, they aren't, yeah, this is a competition I can get behind because it is a skills-based competition, not a let's see who survives the torture competition.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not a decorating show. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like fully baking.
Yeah, so like when they do decorating, the judges are like really wowed by it. Dawn Butler, who of course, you know, of Dinky Doodle Designs, who sells airbrushes, she was saying how she was being interviewed, I think by BBC Radio, after one of the episodes of the most recent Bake Off series. And I said to her, like quoting from what had happened on the show the night before, I said, are you going to talk about your spray gun for food color? Because I think that's what they call it. Oh, look, he has a spray gun for food color. Isn't that innovative? And the rest of us are like, no. No. Like the judges were, like they're looking at him like he's some kind of, you know, god of decorating because he has an airbrush. They're not even calling it an airbrush. They kept calling it a spray gun. And so Don was all like, all LOL, because, yeah, I'm going to go talk about my spray gun of food color.
That's so funny.
Yeah, just because, and so my friends here are like, you should go on that show. I'm like, no, I do two recipes really well.
I can relate.
I'm a decorator.
Baking is not my strong suit.
Yeah, I mean, I like baking different things, but also the recipes are, like, there are British food staple recipes that I don't know what they are. Like, so, like, they'll say that, I mean, okay, so you've probably heard of spotted dick because, right, it sounds funny.
More than likely.
Yeah, so, like, it's because Americans think, spotted dick. Sometimes it's even just the terminology is different. Like, it took me a while to figure out when they say sponge, they mean, like, any cake. And so, like, a basic sponge here is, like, a pound cake. Like,
oh, okay.
That's the same thing, basically, right? So when they're talking about you want to use a good sponge for carving, what they mean in American terms is a pound cake, because it is good for carving.
Out of curiosity, is that a Madeira?
Yeah, I think it's or close enough. I don't know, does Madeira have exactly the same? Because the whole pound cake is it's the equal proportions.
I don't know.
And here's another installment of Kim Googles Things while you're busy so you don't have to. Cake terminology around the world overlaps and varies and gets really confusing. If you look up a recipe given particular terms in a particular area, you will get a different result versus if you tried that same search somewhere else. That means in these modern times of mass migration all over the planet, we often get confusion, where people think a basic term means one thing and they don't realize it means something else in a different place. So if you Google for terms like pound cake and sponge cake, you can find pages that say they are completely different, and other pages that say they are basically the same, depending on where you live. So in some places, a pound cake is a butter cake and a sponge cake is a whipped egg cake. But in others, a sponge can indeed mean an easy, more or less equal ratio ingredient cake. Here in the UK, you can find lots of recipes for a thing called a sponge cake that are equal weights of butter, sugar, eggs, and flour. I'll put a link to a BBC sponge cake recipe in the show notes that calls for 125 grams each of butter, caster sugar, and self-raising flour, plus 2 eggs. And for science, I weighed 2 eggs, and that is indeed about 125 grams as well. That is what a pound cake is. Equal ratios of those ingredients with the butter and sugar creamed together, then the other ingredients added, and the whole thing baked at 180 degrees Celsius or 350 degrees Fahrenheit until done. Madeira cake is basically a pound cake, often with a bit more flour or slightly less butter for a tighter, drier texture, and usually with lemon flavoring of some kind. Madeira cake is named after Madeira wine, although it does not contain the wine. But in the 1800s, it was the cake popularly served alongside Madeira wine. All of these cakes are popular with decorators around the world today, even if their names differ, because they are good, dense cakes suitable for supporting heavy decorations and for carving. This has been yet another installment of Kim Googles Things while you're busy so you don't have to.
I have 2 Debbie Brown books.
Yep, that's how I learned.
I've never actually tried a Madeira cake. So just out of curiosity, that's what I was asking.
I have. And so when I said earlier that that was my origin story, that I bought a book and tried it, it was a Debbie Brown book. The first cake I ever made, I made dutifully to her recipe, which, you know, was a UK recipe. So it came out a little weird with US ingredients. Because as I've said on the show many times, flour and butter are different. So, So sometimes the recipes don't translate as well as you'd think. But followed every step that she said. Every step. She said, roll it like this, and I rolled it like that, and stick it on like this, and stick it, and I carve it like this, and I did it, and I was like, wow, look what I made. What else can I do with this?
I tried to do that with a Colette Peters book. I don't even remember which one, but it's a chameleon. It's covered in, like, mosaic tiles. Absolutely stunning, like everything she does. And I really, really attempted to do it, but never actually got around to finishing it. The only thing I think I've successfully made from a book is a monkey from Elisa Strauss's Confetti Cakes book.
I have that book,
It may have been Confetti Cakes Kids, but it was a monkey. Right. And it turned out pretty good. Like, I was impressed with myself.
Yeah, I mean, because you reach a point where you don't want to just do what other people have done, but sometimes it's nice to go back and follow the directions. I just bought a bunch of Lindy Smith books. I did in like October. I read them and I haven't done anything yet. But like, cause you know, she does all this cool stuff with tiling, and she's got I got her the little pen that we.
Oh yes, yeah. The fluid writer.
Yeah, it's.
I know exactly.
It's
what you're
right here
about.
In my hands right now.
For one.
So yeah, well, because it took me a while because she's frequently out of stock. I didn't get it at Cake International either because she was out of stock again. But yeah, so I have it right in my hands. Because you have all these ideas, but then the time and sometimes the excuse to do them because, you know, someone hasn't ordered it or it's not for a collab or
a competition.
A competition, then are you just making it for the sake of making it? And who has that kind of time? My next cake project is something I'm doing for Innovative Sugar Works that I've been meaning to do since last summer, and I kept getting sick. But, you know, it's happening, like, in a couple weeks. And
I currently have a half-finished collab piece done that I've known about, honestly, maybe a year and a half. And, of course, this is the month it's due, where I'm actually getting to it.
Oh, man, yeah, especially if they've given you a year and a half, because some of these collabs, they give you 3 months, and I'm like, no, thank you.
Yes, and it's for a company, and, like, highlighting a product.
Oh, yeah, you need to get that done.
I dropped the ball. I should have started earlier.
Oh, I know, because I haven't done many, but I did the butterfly one with Kyla, and now that's in Cake Masters, which is, like, just huge.
Congrats.
My cake is beside Mike McCary's cake in Cake Masters magazine. I'm like, woohoo, I win at life. meanwhile, my non-cake friends are like, why did you change your avatar? We're confused. You're purple now instead of Rainbow Marvin. We're so confused. I'm like, it's just for a week.
That's so funny.
Well, I'm confusing myself. I look at my own discussions and I'm like, where am I? And oh, and no, hang on, that's Kyla. And no, hang on, that's someone else. Ah, I can't find anything. What else have you? Are you teaching classes?
I'm actually teaching at the Cake Bar Show, where I'm judging. I have a structured demo. I call it structure smackdown because alliteration, of course.
You are in marketing.
Exactly. It's an hour demo, and I'm doing two structures, like obviously talking about everything as much as I can fit in, but really highlighting two structures. It's my rocket ship cake blasting off from a planet, and it's the cake falling over.
Okay, right. Because you do a pizza standing up thing.
Yes, and that's my other class that I'm teaching there. Okay. It's a four-hour class, and we're using the Innovative Sugarworks sugar structure set, and all for the price of the class. I can't even think of it off the top of my head. You get a free four-legged running structure set that we will actually be using in class to make the pizza structure. But start to finish, we're going to be making gravity-defying pizza, doing the cheese, everything, and also hand-painting the board, which is a really cool pattern, kind of super 80s neon colors.
That is very cool. Well, that is a cool cake. I mean, I've definitely – that's one of those ones when I've shared – The cake muggles, as I call them, are like, but it's not a cake, it's pizza.
Well, it actually wasn't a cake, I'll be honest. It could have been cake, but what I actually did, I just kept bulking up aluminum foil until it was like 1.5 inches tall. And then I was like, there's my cake.
Okay, but it's sugar art.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
In this case, I just had to make it really quickly for the picture, but in class, we're also not going to be using cake because we have to work in 4 hours, but the exact same structure is going to be secure enough to put a very heavy cake on.
Right. And that's what, like, a lot of classes are like that, where
exactly
if you're going to take time to, you know, level and fill, there's an hour of class. I mean, the class that I'm putting together for my friends, and hopefully more than just my friends, because I'd like to make some money for a change, is, you know, I'm going to teach them how to. Well, I'm not even going to really have to teach them how to level because my cake recipe is self-leveling. it's just this great BBC chocolate recipe I found when I was here temporarily before we knew we were going to stay, and I didn't have a mixer because so many cakes require a mixer to get the air in it. But this recipe didn't need a mixer, and it comes out thick and fudgy and dark, and it puffs up in the pan, and then as you cool it, it just comes out flat. I haven't leveled a cake in years.
Well, that's super cool.
I know. Well, actually, it's not true. Because if you make it, like, if you make, like, a 4-inch.
So you're lying to me.
Yeah, I'm lying. Okay. No, but, like in my 8-inch. I haven't leveled an 8-inch or a 10-inch cake. And I don't even think the 6-inch. The 4, like, my daughter just made a 4-inch one for her bake-off at school. And, like, that one, the 4-inch still has enough of a puff that you need to at least take a little bit of a knife over it. But I showed her how to do that easily. I was like, you just put more in the pan and then you use the edge of the pan. Done. But yeah, so I'm going to be teaching them how to I'll still tell them how to level, like fill and cover, because that's, I think, what they want to know how to do is how do I make a cake look smooth like that? Because I don't know. They don't know how to roll fondant.
That'll be super fun.
Yeah, but I like a lot of professional classes. I mean, people, particularly the cake muggles, need to know that, because sometimes they see the professional level classes and they think they're going to go in and learn how to make a cake like out of their kitchen. It's like, no, you're going to learn that on styrofoam, because you don't. It's not a 3-day class.
Yeah.
But so, how big is that pizza then when it's done?
I think the board is about 16 inches wide. So I also cover this thing. So it's on this wavy board, but that isn't wood, but there is still a wood board, and I kind of tell them how to do that and get creative with your boards without actually having to cut wood.
That's cool.
I think 16 inches wide, and then the actual pizza is maybe 15 inches tall.
So it's okay, so it's way bigger than it seems in the photo.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big piece.
Yeah, okay, because we were saying a ton of cake in there. I'm like, but it is a pizza that is thin.
No, it could definitely be like, maybe like a half sheet cake, obviously like trimmed to a triangle, so a lot of it cut off. But I can imagine like a half sheet.
Wow. Okay. So that thing's way bigger. You need a picture of like you standing beside it for scale. Banana for scale. But I mean, like, cause someone had just posted from, I think it was the Squire's show here, had a bunch of miniature cakes, and they didn't look miniature. Like they were tiny, tiny, like a couple inches tall wedding cakes.
I think I saw those.
Yeah, I think it may have been Jackie Kelly posting it. Do you want me to play her noise in there?
Yes, please. I love her. We have this whole big thing going. Every time we see each other, she gives me Cadbury, and I give her Reese's.
Oh, you know the way to Jackie's heart. Yeah, but it's like, every time I come to the Austin show, the list is getting unmanageable now, the amount of British chocolate I have to bring to people. And then every year someone else finds out, what? I didn't know on this. And I'm like, so I've been saying yes to everyone. And then I've said, that's it. It's capped. And then this year it's like, but I'll come, I'll advertise your podcast. If you're, and I'm like, fine, you're on the list. Tian, you're on the list. Okay. You're on the list. But yeah, so that's, if you really want to get Jackie, because I mean, Jackie's going to Self-Load, I assume. She must be.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm very excited to see her.
Take her to IHOP.
You know what? I saw her at SoFlo last year. I took Dawn's class, and Jackie came in later, and that was the first time I saw her, like, at that specific show. I met her before. I can't remember when, but they were telling me about the adventures of the road trip from Texas to Florida, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to get you the Reese's Pieces. And she was like, honey, I've had too many Reese's Pieces. Like, oh my god, I can only imagine they're telling me about IHOP. And sounds,
well,
so
I think
fun.
She was just saying that her IHOP dreams have still not come true.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she just said that like last week. So
all right, then we'll have to change that.
I think you need to change that. I think there needs to be,
I'll message her.
Yes. I'm going to message her after I get this. I'm going to be like, Jared's going to make sure your IHOP dreams come true, which just sounds weird and creepy now, doesn't it? But no. Take Jackie Kelly to IHOP and then and record something and submit it to my show.
Okay.
That would be hilarious. But yeah, because both of them, they were like episodes number one was Dawn, and I don't know, in the first few was Jackie, I think six, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Her episode was so funny.
Yeah, her talking about going, oh, someone's already told me that I have to put for the anniversary episode. That was like their favorite clip. Whenever they're sad, they play Jackie Kelly talking about American highways.
Oh, my God.
Oh, anyway, we should not talk about weather and Jackie the whole show. Okay, so you are teaching at SoFlo, yes, you're teaching.
Well, not teaching at SoFlo this year, just judging.
Okay, but you're teaching, those classes are at Cake Bar.
The Cake Bar Cake Show.
Cake Bar
Cake. Long Beach, California, July 7th and 8th. Plug. Right.
Yay! And any chance we're going to lure you out here for Cake International?
Oh, I would absolutely freaking love to, like, in a heartbeat, I would go out there, but I would really, really have to plan because, like, money.
Yeah, it's expensive. I don't know how
it's
much
expensive.
It is.
It's expensive. Yeah. It's so expensive. Like, teleportation, like, really needs to be a thing.
I know, right? Like, oh my God, I beat all the shows all the time. Teleportation,
exactly.
And the Hermione time turner.
Like, even if I, like, shrink, like, a little bit every time I do it, or, like, my bones get, like, a little more fragile, it's worth it.
You're just building in the pain. You're just expecting, like, no,
I'm
it could.
Going to space. Doesn't that happen when you go to space? You get shorter and, like, your bones get more brittle?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's like, yes, if you're at the space station for a long time. Well, there you go. There's your next plan, is you should go make cakes on the space station. Oh, God. I just thought about how horrible that would be. How do you do string work in zero G? That's called Dawn.
Well, I don't think you would have to put it upside down.
Right, but, like, you would just go all wonky. Oh, my God.
Oh, well, no, for sure. But you know what I mean, right?
Right, like, yeah. No, you wouldn't need to put it upside down. I mean, you could just be upside down. But, like, like, you can't, because you can never do drops.
Yeah.
So now I'm just picturing what a zero-G string with cake would look like. And it's nuts. And I really, really want to do it. And I have no connections to the space industry to make
this
happen.
So we'll start a Kickstarter to send someone up there. It'll be volunteer-based.
You're in Florida. It's got spacey stuff. We've got Dawn in Houston. That's got spacey stuff. Surely between the two of you. Oh, my God. That would be so awesome to get someone decorating a cake in space.
I do not volunteer. But I would watch from a very, very far distance here.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean like a qualified astronaut.
Oh, well, that's besides the point.
I mean, we'll just send them up like, you know, a piping bag and a sealed space cake.
That'd be super cool.
That would be super cool. Oh, my God. I'm such a
all
nerd.
Right,
I'm totally
it.
Dirtying it up.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0,
sure that I'm going to. Yeah.
And graduating from high school and starting college.
And graduating from high school and starting college. So there's also that.
So are you definitely like just putting the cake away while you're at college, or going to try and keep it up, or how's that going to work?
I haven't fully figured it out yet, only because I still don't know what it's going to be like, right. If that makes any sense.
No, it totally
like,
does.
I don't know how involved I want to be. Because, like, I have so many responsibilities in high school. It's going to be really hard not having as many in college. So I definitely want to be committed to something with a purpose. But I just don't know where it's going to take me yet. But it'll definitely continue as an art medium before a business.
Right. Well, so, like, I mean, are you living in student housing? Because that's going to be the big determinant.
I don't think I am. I think I'm going to get an apartment with my brother. Okay. Not that that matters.
Well,
but no, I think I am.
Because having a kitchen, like, because I lived, when I went off to university for the first 2 years, I was in a dorm. And, like, they're super restrictive about even having a toaster and a fridge. So, just realistically, how would you even do a cake with a bar fridge?
Right? I wouldn't. I would definitely have to take a break. I was actually ready to take a break. I was debating between UCF, so University of Central Florida, and the Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD. It's one of the premier art schools in the country. But I would need $80,000 to be $20,000 in debt. So for a program there that I wanted to go into advertising, but the creative side is not that prestigious there. Like, it's not fully worth it.
Right.
It's not worth the stress.
Right.
Really ready to just drop it for 4 years. I was close, really close.
Right. But if you have an apartment with a kitchen, you can
it'll be a lot easier.
You can, like, choose to, you know what, I'm going to knock out some gorgeous Christmas cake because I can.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, one competition a year.
Yeah. You still have the option to sort of do that. I mean, yeah, you're going to find out how much you overload yourself because you know how, like, high school had all those different things available? I mean, it depends on the school you go to, the university you go to, but, yeah, they're going to have, like, 10,000 more.
For sure.
Yeah, so where do you see yourself going with this then long term? I mean, are you marketing cake, or are you wanting to be a marketer who does cake on the side? Or
see, I really don't know. I'm just incredibly obsessed with the whole advertising industry. I love how it's like always creative, always hands on, always deadline based, which I kind of need in my life, and it'll never die. It's an industry that will always be there because you always need to market whatever's new. So I just think that's super interesting about it. Cake-wise, I really do not know. I don't know if I want to start, like, a business, like a brick-and-mortar. See, like, absolute dream is travel the world, teach classes, but also have a studio at home. By home, I mean, like, wherever I'm living.
Yeah.
And, like, have a full studio with a classroom, and I invite guests to come in. I teach classes out of there, but I also make client cakes. But not just, like, any client cakes, like, the big stuff, the fancy stuff. Like, that's the absolute dream. If it's going to happen, I don't know. When it's going to happen, I really do not know.
I think that's pretty much most cakers' dream right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Pretty much.
But, like, yeah, it is to some extent a dream. And there are a few people who have that, but even, I mean, it's all about balance, right? Like, the people who go teaching constantly, they're not selling as many cakes, and the people who sell as many cakes aren't. And some people go back and forth. This is why I won't even abide any of this cake or faker nonsense, because so many people go back and forth. In the Austin show, I was just talking to Mike McCary about, like, because he was really impressed with all these cookies. And I said, "Ooh, are we luring you into the, you know, dark world of cookies?" And he said, "No, because I can't make money on it." And I was like, "Wait, you actually sell cakes?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, that's my business." Because of course it is. I mean, we all think
he
of Mike.
A lot of cakes.
He does.
Of people don't see.
That's right. Because we all see him as this amazing cake celebrity. We see him as this judge and instructor. But no, he's down in that, you know, trench. That's his main business. That's his livelihood. Is
like he does round tier wedding cakes.
Yeah.
Like, I remember him saying that somewhere.
Yeah.
Never think he would do that.
No, but I mean, I've heard him many times in classes say, look, do I wish I could do like a Scooby-Doo cake for every cake? Sure, but there aren't that enough clients to pay for that.
Yeah.
So that he's like, no, a lot of what we do is, you know, quilted look with dragees on it. Or like, you know, like they do very, you know, bog standard basic cakes. And that's the bread and butter. That's what pays the bills because most people, they're attracted to someone like him, obviously, because they see Scooby-Doo or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But then they come in and they find out what the cost. the incredibly fair cost is for cakes like that. And then they're like, yeah, budget. That's why he's got that whole class, again, a crafty class I actually have taken of his, is the one where he shows you how to make the popped up two-dimensional design.
Yes.
And so gold. Definitely I would, you know, any listener who's out there who wants to do more design work like that, characters and logos and stuff. But if you're having trouble getting clients to pay for a carved cake, because let's face it, they don't want to pay what that takes us in time, then go look at Mike's, wait for, like, there's always coupons and stuff or sales or whatever. And so you get that Craftsy class and he basically shows you how to make the angled cake and then carve out the bits of modeling chocolate or fondant. He goes through both and make, like, I think there's a Knight logo that looks like, you know, or sports logo or whatever. And so you're making something that really pops, but it's still 2D and actually not that difficult. So, yeah, I mean, that's, but because that is the dream is, don't we all wish we could just take each other's amazing classes and sit around being artistic all the time?
For sure. That would be awesome. Yeah. Absolutely awesome. That's why I want to keep it as a medium, because I just like how immediate it is. I've worked with clay once. I made a zombie mug. It was last year. And I, like, slightly enjoyed the process, but, like, it's stressful because, like, you don't know what's coming out of the kiln.
Right.
Like, I like how immediate cake is. Like, you don't have to wait for glazes to set, then be fired to see what it actually looks like. Like, you can literally just, like, airbrush on top of fondant. And then you can eat it after. Like, the challenge of making a cake, I think, is just so much cooler than ceramics, per se.
Yeah, well, and having done both, ceramics fills your house real fast.
Oh, that's a good point.
And part of why I got into cake was our house was filling up with stuff, because I did stained glass and I did ceramics and I did all these things. I did a lot of bead work, 3D beading and stuff like that, some knitting. And I still do, I still dabble in some of those, although I haven't done ceramics in years, because you do have to have the kiln and the, you know, you have to have a studio for that. But yeah, it was, oh, now I can take these sculptural elements and put them in a thing that we then destroy and goes away into our face hole.
Exactly.
Right. So
it's
cake,
so cool.
Cake is, if you love sculpting and creating, cake is perfect because you can get it out of your house.
Exactly.
You can always
find something. It's a nice release too. Like, some people don't like that, but I just did a car cake. It was a 72 Chevelle and I was so happy to see it go. Like, it's just nice. It's almost like therapeutic, like seeing, like, someone else take it.
Yeah, I mean, you take pictures. We live in the digital age. It's not like you can never look at it again. When I first started cakes, it was not the digital age, and I had some incidents where the film didn't work. And so I have cakes that I've made that there are no pictures of. That's it. It's just gone. So that's
I want to see a picture of the dog with the seven tails and eyes. That sounds so cool.
Oh, that's okay.
So
that one's on the blog. I'll put that in the show notes and I'll send you the link when we're done. But yeah, it was the only cake I've ever actually used full on disco dust, like the sparkle stuff. Cause I just won a pile of it at the Austin show. So,
I'm literally cringing. Like, glitter is my kryptonite. I hate it. I know people are obsessed with it, but even, like, a little piece will drive me up the wall.
Oh, no, I know a lot of people like that. It's, yeah, you're not alone. She was turning seven, and so I'd won this, and I said, look at all these. It was, like, the array of, like, was it 12 or 16? And they're just so pretty when you see them in their box. And I mean the stuff that now I'm not even buying anymore, because now I know about plastic in the oceans and blah, blah, blah. But I said to her, look, I won all this. Do you want any of this on your cake? And she's like, I want the nose to be that glitter pink. And I'm like, done. But it's like, it's the only time I've ever used it. And so she wanted to help airbrush it. So it's green and green and blue and pink, and it has scales. So she wanted to make.
Okay, no, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's a very, very weird cake. It started out like I'm trying to do a Mike McCary dog type cake, like a realistic dog. And now we're just adding weirdness.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny. I was planning a private class with someone. It never ended up working out, but she wanted it to be ice cream themed. And my head first went to, I want to make an ice cream octopus. And
that's
it's
awesome.
One of my favorite things I've ever made.
So like like upside down ice cream cone as the head? Or?
So it's basically an ice cream scoop as the head, and then the tentacles are like hot fuzz drips. They're all shiny and have like little drips down with modeling chocolate. It is my favorite cake, probably.
You have pictures we can link to, right?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, we're definitely going to have to link to that one because, yeah, that sounds epic. But are you selling right now, or are you just gearing up for the end of high school instead?
I'm honestly gearing up for the end of high school. Yeah. I'm actually just today. Okay, March 16th, I finished my last yearbook in high school. Everything is done. Everything is sent to the publishers. I am done. I am just ready to graduate at this point. But I actually have a story about donuts. I think one of the first cakes I made was for my dad, and his birthday is the day before mine. And it was the Wilton soccer ball pan.
Uh-huh.
And I piped up little stars and piped all the little lines with the Wilton piping tips. And I think, like, grocery store buttercream Publix, which is so good. I love it. Guilty pleasure. But then I made for myself a donut tower. I got Entenmann's chocolate glazed donuts and Krispy Kreme donuts. I just kept stacking them up. And then I found a recipe for donut glaze and colored it different colors and then just splatter painted it everywhere. We ended up eating it. But it was so cool.
That is epic. Wait, so you just stacked them with, like, no structure in them, and they just held up like magic?
I had to have used bamboo skewers.
That's what I'm thinking. YouTube, you must have.
Time, so for sure, I was using bamboo skewers.
Maybe it was the same magic where people can pipe the arc over during the cakes. It was your magic foo.
Yes, exactly. That's so funny.
That is, yes. But anyway, it is almost midnight here, so unless you had other stuff you wanted to tell me, I should probably let you go soon.
I don't. It was really great talking to you. Really?
It was fun. I mean, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for being on, and good luck with all the stuff you've got going on. I'm sure you're going to be an amazing judge at SoFlo. Nick wouldn't pick you if he didn't think you could do it. So you are going to rock it, and you're going to keep blazing that trail until you have to take a break, and then everyone's sad and begs you to come back.
Yes, exactly. It's going to happen.
That's pretty much the future I see for you. You're going to be like, I'm studying. I have exams. And we're going to be like, no, you have a cake show, mister.
Exactly. Like, I will pay for you to go, mister.
Yeah, well, won't that be a dream?
That's probably the best. Let's hope we get to the point where everyone's just begging, like Kickstarters.
Yeah, no, you know what? We're going to all get a universal basic income, and we're all just going to be creative people, and the robots will do everything else.
It'll be like a utopia.
Cake-topia. Cake-topia.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, before I get too punch drunk, I should say thanks once again, and good luck with everything, and we're going to put all your links and stuff in the show notes, and send me the octopus cake, and we're going to link to that, and your pizza cake, and all your classes, and we'll post all that stuff so people can sign up and come and meet you and hang out with you, because apparently that's how you meet people you like, is you sign up for their classes.
That's the best way to do it.
That is the best way to do it. So people sign up for Jared's classes.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Okay, have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, that thing you just made? That was amazing. You are so good at this. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman.
Thank you so much for listening. And remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it. Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
Shrink like a little bit every time I do it, or like my bones get like a little more fragile, it's worth it.